Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about the sacred purpose trust of His Holy Church. It's a job. It was given to men who were trained up and designated to be the ministers of His Holy Church, and they, in turn, designated other people by recognizing their calling, which is a spiritual calling. And along the way, occasionally, people recognized people that were not truly the faithful ministers of Christ, and they established other churches contrary to the ways of Christ. We see this, of course, at the time of Constantine, when there were 1,200 known bishops invited, told to come to his council meeting by Constantine, and that was the known bishops, meaning from the word episcopo, meaning overseers, but men who did not exercise authority one over the other, but were servants of servants of servants. This is how Christ organized the church. If you are in a church where your bishops exercised authority over the ministers, appoint them from the top down, your church is not a church established by Christ, simply because it does contrary to the ways of Christ. It's not following Christ. It's following some other idea. And of course, Constantine had a habit, a spiritual habit, of exercising authority one over the other. That's why he killed his partner and his partner's entire family, wiped out whole villages, even, 10,000 people at a time, even after he supposedly became a Christian, which he never did. He never became a Christian. He was baptized somewhere on his deathbed, but many people believe that he was baptized after he was already dead. Now, I believe his mother may have been a real Christian, but I don't believe that he was. But he called his council, and only 319 bishops showed up out of 1,200 known bishops at that time. Now, there were probably more bishops than were known, but, simply because of the persecution and the nature of the church, we're not a top-down, so we don't have this big, long list. It's a network. They're connected and interconnected. And, the tip of my finger doesn't know what the tip of my toe is doing, but they are connected. If my finger gets cut off, my toe will feel the pain of that, in the sense that, some of the blood that would have gone to my toe will now be redistributed to my finger to deal with that. So, that's the way a body works. But they're not directly connected. It's like the old song, the thigh bone is connected to the hip bone, and the hip bone is connected to the back bone, and they're all connected, but not directly connected, indirectly connected, because it's a network. So anyway, he started this church that was composed of ministers who liked what he was doing, which was top-down and centralized. And you see the evidence of that centralization right away when Milan elects a bishop. For the people of Milan just elect a single bishop to be the bishop of Milan. Elected by the people, that's not the way it works. The people elect their particular minister, and that minister elects his particular minister, and that minister elects his particular minister. And those ministers each have authority over that which is freely given them, because they are servants of servants of servants of servants. That's how you work your way up into the higher echelons of the church. But the higher echelons of the church is not higher authority over the people. It's just a greater responsibility of connecting the people so that they act as one body by free will choice. But that's not what Ambrose did. Ambrose immediately began issuing edicts and commands to actually persecute anybody who did not like his brand of Christianity, which he knew nothing about. He was elected the bishop, and the first thing he did was ask for permission to go off and study Christianity because he didn't know anything about it. Because, see, everybody in Milan was now Christians. They were to be baptized as Christians. This is how they were going to do it. They were actually, this was like a new form of Obamacare. I don't want to pick on Obama, but Constantine knew that religion was how you took care of the needy of your society, and most of the people were a part of what we call today pagan religions, which included like the Temple of Saturn, where you registered the birth of your children and marriages and even contracts and diplomatic papers and all kinds. It was registered because these temples were government buildings. And if you were registered there for your birth certificates, which had to be registered within 30 days with either the local authorities or the Temple of Saturn, and when they were registered, then you would become eligible for the benefits paid for through the temple mostly by the government by that time. And the government got the money through taxation, or tribute, as we call it. We call it taxation today, but it was an excise tribute tax. And of course, Rome was in debt. Rome was having financial troubles, and they couldn't keep up with the social welfare. So they said, let's do it like the Christians do it, through free will offerings. And so they set up the Church of Constantine, and he invited all the Christians to come, but only a small fraction of them actually came to that meeting, 319. And then before the meeting was over, there was less than 300 there, because even more left in disgust, because these guys didn't know anything about Christianity. And the very next meeting they had like that, only 150 showed up. Well, theoretically, there should have been, you know, triple the number of bishops, but only 150 showed up, because this was a different church. This wasn't following the ways of Christ. This was following the ways of Constantine's interpretation of Christ. And out of that change, a huge church was born that eventually had armies that went around killing people who didn't become like them. And they burn people at the stake. They kill people by the millions. Tens of millions of people were murdered because they didn't follow that particular religious ideology. And yet they called themselves his church. You know, Christ's church. But they were really Constantine's church, who was a bloodthirsty murderer all his life. And then out of that we have the Protestant Reformation trying to throw off what they considered to be heresies or false teachings. But they didn't always necessarily conform to Christ either. And I don't know anybody who perfectly conforms to Christ. But that is the pattern we must seek, is the pattern of Christ. And last show, we talked about the fact that the ministers, to be a disciple of Christ, to study to be a minister of Christ, eventually you had to give up all personal property. You own all things in common with your other fellow ministers because you have no personal private estate. You are literally belonging to Christ. You will live in the world, but you're not of the world. You're of Christ. You have to entirely depend upon free will offerings. You cannot depend on systems that depend on men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. And that was the next line, or part of the line that we said, where Christ talked about selling all that they had to be one of his disciples, of not exercising authority, of feeding his sheep, of living in the world and not of the world. And when it comes to not exercising authority, we see in Matthew 20:25, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know, the princes of the Gentiles, using the word ethnos, the other nations, Gentiles, Gentius, the other nations, the princes, the rulers of the other nations, the governments of the other nations, they exercise dominion over them, the people of the nations, they exercise dominion over them, control, they hold the dominion over the people. The people are subjects to them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them, the people. It's power over power. And he says, but you're not supposed to be that way. So why is he comparing them to other nations? Because they are a nation. Jesus was a king, accepted by thousands, tens of thousands of Judeans, and then eventually Romans, Galatians, the people of Ephesus, the people in England, and thousands upon thousands of people accepted Christ as their king. And you could do that because they were forming the one world government, and you could just pick whichever government you wanted to belong to, but you had to belong to some sort of government. Well, most of the choices were the governments that exercised authority, the other nations, where the princes rule over the people, and the people must pay them tribute because the people are subject. It's not a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, although many of them were democratic. It was a government that exercised authority, where some men made laws and ruled over the most of the people who were subject to the rule of these few men. That was a conflict, because Christianity was not like that. Those who followed Christ, who said there is another king, one Jesus, they were not like that. They provided the social welfare, but they did it through faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. They did it because they loved one another. Not just, they didn't go to their congregation because it made them feel good. It was an opportunity to do righteousness, to attend to the weightier matters that Christ listed off for the people. Mark 10:42 says, but Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted as to rule over the Gentiles, the other nations, exercise lordship over them. They are the rulers. They are the lawmakers. They exercise authority. They tell you what you can do and what you can't do and what you must pay and what you are going to get back. They tell you. They decide. They choose. They have the liberty to choose in the other nations, these other Gentiles. But your nation isn't to be that way. Their great ones exercise authority upon them. But you are not to be that way. He is to be greatest among you, is to be servant. And Luke 22:25 says the same thing. And he said unto them, the kings, the rulers, the presidents, the prime ministers, of the Gentiles, of the other nations, exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But it shall not be so amongst you. So this is very critical. If your church bishop has authority, can exercise authority over the ministers, control them, fire them, pay them, that's not a church established by Christ, because it's not doing what Christ said. That's somebody else who've brought in damnable heresies and is going the other way. You're to be servants of servants. He is the greatest among you is to be a servant. Not just pretend to be a humble guy, but actually be a servant. The minister has absolute total control over what the minister has given him, and the relationship between him and his bishop is based on the love of his bishop for him as for himself. It's a matter of service. It's a matter of brotherhood. This is the character of Christ's church. If that's not the character in your church, or if you pretend it is when it's really not, like your bishop goes around and speaks very softly and kindly, but he has the power to destroy you, to take away from you, exercise authority over it, tell you what you can do and can't do. There's actually a group that was giving coverture to churches. You know, it was I won't mention any names, but, you know, you could sign up with it and it helped set up your church and it gave you covering. You know, it was all 501c3 kind of organization, corporate organization. But then if your church was not tithing into them, they would cancel your charter, seize your property, and sell it. Because you weren't productive enough. They wouldn't see, like in some churches that, or actually you're seeing this a lot in, like the Catholic Church has sold many, many churches, sold huge amounts of church property and made money from it. But used to be that what they did when a church was not doing well, they sent new ministers there to try to get more converts, change the policy, you know, that sort of thing. But now a lot of times in metropolitan areas, it's more convenient just to sell the property and take the bucks and run. And there's more to it than that. I won't go into all the details of how they structure things. But the fact is this group was actually, if you weren't productive, they would seize your property. And people, you know, the congregation that was there had to literally 24 hours a day had occupied the buildings so that this other corporation, which they had depended on for coverture, could not come in and take away the church from the few people who were still gathering there. You see, and that's just totally contrary to Christ. But of course, they had already strayed many years before away from the pattern laid down by Christ. So much so that you don't even recognize that pattern. You haven't even seen, I mean, where do you see this? Where the people hold the purse strings, not the purse strings of the church, but their purse strings. When they give to the church, they give freely. And the one they give to is their minister. And their minister decides what to give to his minister. He has total control over what he receives. And any time the elders of the church, which is every head of every family, it's not some little group of board, it's the head of every family that is recognized as part of the church, can stop giving to that minister and choose another minister. If two decide to go off and choose another minister, and two still decide to stay and keep choosing that minister remains a recognized minister. But if 10 move over and recognize another minister, if 8 move over, if 7 move over, the original minister is still a minister to the two, but he's not their minister. Now they give to somebody else. Now you can see the natural governing effect of this. Then a minister starts seeing that one family pulls out, two families pull out, three families pull out. He's going to go to them and say, why are you leaving this congregation? Why are you not contributing to the congregation? Well, we don't like what you're doing. And then he must make a decision. Am I being true to my conscience? You know, they have a voice. They don't have power to control over him. But because the source of the purse of the congregation is in the pockets of the elders of every family, they have a voice daily to say, I think you're doing something wrong. I think you're not doing the job. I think you're becoming fat and lazy. And they can withhold the purse strings of that. But they need to form another congregation. They can't. Because if they just pull out and just go off, they've abandoned everybody else in the body of Christ. They need to form another congregation. If Israel kept doing that, they would not have needed to elect Saul. The corruption that was showing up amongst the other ministers that were taking bribes, because that's part of their appeals court system, those that were taking bribes, and those of you who have followed this and understand what the cities of refuge really were and how it worked, they were taking bribes, and men were getting off for committing crimes and violating other people's rights that should not be getting off. The people had the power to do something about that because they could withhold support from their minister who was a part of the election of this other minister, and you would have trickle-up justice. People would be attending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith, and things would have worked out. But because the people were turning their backs, we just did a show talking about drugs, how you avoid, you know, I mean, all kinds of drugs, caffeine, any kind of drug, how you're avoiding dealing with an issue by reaching for these external stimuli, or in some cases, it's not really, it's a mind-altering drug, or, you know, it closes your ability to see things, you know, and that's, you don't want to go that way, because then there are other things that you need to see you won't see. You see, and that's what comes from eating of the tree of knowledge. That you can't see all the knowledge at once. You're just not that smart. And so if you shut out some, you shut out other. and you lose vision and will make stupid mistakes and not receive revelation, not hear his voice. So anyway, you have to follow that pattern in everything, not just amongst those at your church. See, you can see all the churches are top-down authority. And you get some people that, you know, come out, form their little, you know, home churches and congregations and everything. They're little comfortable back-scratching groups that make them feel good. But they're not thinking kingdom. They're not as concerned about the next congregation as they are their own. So the Spirit of Christ is not really there. Part of the Spirit of Christ is, but part of the truth is always a lie until it's the whole truth. That's how the devil lies. He just doesn't tell you the whole truth. He only tells you part of the truth. So if you're not actively as concerned about your next congregation as you are your own, if you're not creating a network of men who are benefactors of your Christian society without exercising authority, if you're still going to the rulers of the earth and the fathers of the earth and the Gentile kings to obtain the benefits of being fed like your daily bread, like I say, your EBT card or whatever it is, you know, your, I guess that's electronic something transfer, benefit transfer. Is that what it is? Stands for? Where your daily bread transfer. That's how you get your daily bread from men who exercise authority one over the other. You see, now you're going contrary to the ways of Christ, and there will be a resulting effect. So your ministers have to not take of those benefits, not look to those benefactors who exercise authority. They have to be separate so that they can set the table of the Lord and feed his sheep, which we see in John 21:17. He saith unto him a third time. I mean, Jesus says this three times. Ask Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Everybody in your congregation should go to church to get their daily bread, not to the men who exercise authority. If your church is going, if the congregation of your church has to go to men who exercise authority one over the other, I don't care how highfalutin your ideas are. I don't care how sweet the sound of your voice is. I don't care how knowledgeable you are, how many theological degrees you have. You're not the church. You're not his church. I don't care about what you say is the doctrines of Christ. That is the doctrine of Christ. To feed his sheep, to care for the need, to set the table of the Lord in faith, by hope and charity, alone. Not by praying to men or applying to men who exercise authority one over the other. I mean, this is so basic, but it's so abandoned. And amongst the modern church, such cognitive disconnect. Well, that's a spiritual disconnect, and you don't want to hear it. You want to imagine that you're saved and that you believe and that you actually are following Christ, and you are not. You don't even know what it means. You don't even know what picking up his cross looks like, and you have to repent of that. And as a matter of fact, not only do you live in the world and of the world, but your ministers live in the world and of the world. Now remember that word world there. If you go look in theirs or in many of the online concordances, it means constitutional order or system of government. That particular word translated into world into verses like John 15:19. It means, when he says in the world, in the constitutional orders and systems of government, but not of the constitutional orders and systems of government. Big difference. And we'll talk more about this when we return to Keys of the Kingdom after this brief break.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
So welcome back. We're talking about living in the world, but not of the world. And obviously, he's not saying you can't eat out of your garden or, you know, pick fruit out of trees. And because he's not talking about the planet, he's talking about the constitutional orders and systems of government. See, your religion, how you take care of the needy of your society, the widows and orphans and the people who fall through the cracks, the people who don't have family that can take care of them, isn't that pure religion? Well, James says it is. Pure religion to take care of that needy without unspotted by the constitutional order and system of government. How does the world, the planet, spot that? It doesn't. It's about that constitutional system of men like Pontius Pilate and Caesar and Herod the Great that exercised authority to kick in your door, not knock and the door shall be open, but kick in your door and force you to contribute, to take care of the needy of your society. That's simply not the Spirit of Christ. And if that's okay with you, the Spirit of Christ is not in you. You have not accepted the Rosh Hashanah, the Holy Spirit. You haven't accepted that yet. You still think it's okay to force your neighbor. I know a lot of people who don't want to pay in, but I don't know a lot of people who don't want to receive. And see, the church is those who took care of one another through faith, hope, and charity in that perfect law of liberty. Therefore, they were at liberty because they said there is another king, one Jesus. You can't do that. You've bound yourself back into the contracts and covenants and constitutions of the world. But you can repent. You can turn around. You can choose to go the other way. So he says, like I said in John 15:19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, the constitutional order and system of government, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I mean, they were still on the planet. What's he talking about? He's talking about that system. John 17:6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Who's he talking to? God. Manifested thy name. What does he mean? Set an example of thy character. Thy way. The way of God. Which is what? If you have 2 fish and 5 loaves and your neighbor has none, you share. That's the message of John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, make straight the way of the Lord. Why did he say that? Because those that had 2 coats were not willingly sharing with those that had none. What happened was the majority of those who had none forced those that had 2 to give to them by applying to men who exercised authority. And they got the wealthy to apply and the poor to apply, and they set up a system of social welfare through baptism under Herod the Great that was based on force. But John the Baptist didn't do that. The kingdom of heaven set up by Herod the Great, which was a system of Corban that required registration at baptism and compulsory offerings, which made the word of God to none effect because it was men who exercised authority through a social contract to guarantee the health, education, and welfare of the people, to feed the sheep. And it works for a while, but it weakens the poor, does not strengthen them. It was the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it led to all kinds of other debaucheries and immoralities until they actually made a law that immorality was good. Immorality was to be ridiculed and mocked. You know, if you're a virgin, that's silly. And you wonder why this is coming. It's all coming because you've been a socialist nation for 100 years. As soon as you instituted public schools, you were a socialist nation. When you introduced Social Security, you were a socialist nation. When you introduced health care, I mean the early stages, Medicare, Medicaid, that's all socialism. It's all asking the men who exercise authority to take away from your neighbor to provide you with the daily needs and bread and what have you. When the food lines were not fed through voluntary contributions, you abandoned Christ. Oh, you still went to church. You still sang your songs, bringing in the sheaves, all that kind of good stuff. You still made yourself feel good about, you know, that you're a Christian and they're not. But the fact is, none of you are Christians. There's almost none of you do this. You exercise authority. Even amongst the Amish who actually do take care of one another, they make up rules like your suspenders have to be a certain size or your hat brim has to be a certain size. Or you could be disfellowshipped. That's the spirit of evil. That's the spirit of exercising authority one over the other. Now, to what degree you do that, I don't know. That's between you and God. And I'm sure there are many people that are very good amongst the Amish, and there's people very good amongst the Protestants and even amongst the Catholics. But the division point is not going to be based on what you want or your church says or your doctrine claims. It'll be based upon the Spirit of Christ. And he's going to say to many, come in. And why? Because they were feeding his sheep. They were feeding his brethren. They were clothing them, helping them, visiting them. Are you doing that? Are you working together in a network? Are you even finding men who have that character to step out in service for others? Are you even looking for them? Are you still looking to the men who call themselves benefactors to provide you with the leeks and onions and straw? Well, then you're not following Christ. You have to start looking to Christ's way. So we see, if you go on down in chapter 17 of John, verse 14 through 16, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, in spirit or in truth, even as I am not of the world. He was not. My kingdom's not of your world, Pontius Pilate. I'm not making any agreements with you. I'm not going to apply to you for protection, because I know protection draws subjection. Maxim of law. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, in other words, run off to the wilderness somewhere, but thou should keep them from the evil of the world. Fear not them that can take away your stuff. Fear them that can take away your soul, by getting you to covet your neighbor's goods and calling it righteousness. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's what he was talking about. And he uses the word everywhere there that means not age, not planet, but constitutional order or system or government. In Luke 22:27, we see, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am amongst you as he that serveth. You go to church to get to feel good, or you go to church to do good, to serve? Usually in most churches, there's a handful of people who do all the work. You know, a handful of women who come and they set everything up and they clean up. And the others are just coming there and I just come by and wanna, you know, sit in the pew and you know, visit, and I don't really, I got this pain in my leg, I can't really do any work, and yeah, right, there's all kinds of things you can do. You can tell the Spirit, see, your churches are not pure, your congregations are not pure, and I don't know any that are, but if you don't know what pure is, yeah, because that's what he had said, talked about being pure. If you want to be pure, perfect, this is what you're going to have to do. The ministers of Christ must serve the people, because Christ came to serve. And now there are all kinds of service. It could be called a service if I tickle your ears and rub your back and scratch behind your ear. But that's not really service. That's going to weaken you. But they also must take care of their own families. The ministers are there to serve, but they are there to also take care of their own families, and they should not neglect their families. So if they spend the day working, you should support that work. Even if they're well off that they don't need that support, then everything they don't need, they should share with others. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. That's in John 15:20. I just read John 13:16. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. Who is keeping the sayings of Christ? Are the ministers? Are the people? Are they praying to the fathers of the earth for their bread? Are they praying to God and gathering together in love so that they could take care of one another? Not just locally, but nationally and internationally. Like he said, verily I say, the servant is not greater than the Lord. In 1 Timothy 5:8 we see, but if any provide not for his own, specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now notice, he's saying provide for his own, especially for those of his own house. So he has to provide for his wife and his children and take care of their needs. Well, who's the other own, his own? Isn't that his congregation, the people that he is congregated with? If he doesn't provide for them, he's an infidel. So how many churches provide all the social welfare needs of their congregation? None? Well, then they're infidels. That's right. I'm just reading the Bible. Are you providing, or are you asking men who exercise authority one over the other to provide? There you go. Simple. Can't get away from it. I keep coming back to the basics of Christianity. But also serve the people as administrators of the affairs of society. So they not only take care of their own congregation, they also provide for the administration in society. When we see in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation, he says, for our conversation is what? Is in heaven, he says. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word conversation there is the word politume. It means, right out of the concordance, the administration of civil affairs or of the commonwealth, the constitution of the commonwealth, form of government and the laws by which it is administered, a state, a commonwealth, a commonwealth of citizens. That's what he's saying. That's what the word is, politume, from where you get politics. There's other words that could mean conversation there, but that's the original word. They translated it into conversation because they wouldn't dare translate it into the administration of civil affairs. For our administration of civil affairs is in heaven. Then you might ask, what do you mean in heaven? Well, then you have to look at the word Uranus and try to find out what that word originally meant. That's what the church was, the administration of the public welfare through faith, hope, and charity instead of force, fear, and violence. And if your church is not telling you that, your church is not telling you the whole gospel, and therefore your church is misleading you and leading you away from the wholeness of the gospel and the responsibilities of what it means to follow Christ. In Acts 23:1 we see, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived, what do you mean I have lived, in all good conscience before God until this day. That's that word again, politume. I have lived in the administration of civil affairs before God until this day. He was dependent entirely upon the church. Actually, he was a fairly wealthy person originally, but he was often living with his family or in jail. He was like Christ, who became this poor man to serve the people. He was able to do it because of the support of many. The same as Christ was able to do his ministry because of the support of some of the richest people in Judea. His own uncle was one of the richest people in Judea. Susanna, her husband wasn't her husband the treasurer of Herod himself? These people were providing public service, public welfare, and they called themselves Christians. The difference was they did it by faith, hope, and charity, not by force. And that was the difference of the gospel according to John the Baptist. And until John the Baptist, men tried to establish it by force. And now today, you do that. You establish it by force, and you claim to be a Christian. Only let your conversation, another word, very similar, politumai. It says to be a citizen, that's the definition, to administer the civil affairs. Only let your citizenship, as it becometh a gospel of Christ, in other words, through service, through faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty, that whether I come and see you and else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, how you're doing, how you're taking care of one another. I go out amongst the churches. They don't take care of one another. They have the men who call themselves the princes of the other nations do it. It wasn't that way in America 100 years ago. Well, actually, it started becoming that way 100 years ago. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. He says that ye stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. But what is the faith of the gospel? Stand fast. Where else do they say stand fast in the Bible? Where does he talk about standing fast in the Bible? In Galatians, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Free to do what? To take care of one another. Not to be a part of that system. He said, why were they persecuted? Because they started forcing people. They had to belong to a social welfare system that exercised authority because it was falling apart. They always do. He says, and not be again entangled with the yoke of bondage. Well, you are, because you haven't been Christians. You haven't been following Christ, and your preachers haven't been telling you to. Watch, ye stand fast in the faith. Faith, living by faith, not by force. He encourages them to be strong. In Philippians 4:1, we see the stand fast again. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast in the Lord, in Thessalonians. This standing fast, it means persevering. Pick up that cross. Don't look back. Take care of one another. Well, we've looked back, and we've gone back, and we've returned to the mire, to the wallowing of in debt and subject to tribute, because we were not real Christian, and we need to repent of that. We need to turn around. Now, I know you can't do it in a day, but I know you can do it by the miracle of Christ leading you, and daily prayer for one another, feeding one another, helping one another. And you have to eventually, because the system will fail. The Bible tells you that the Levites are naked and that the people must provide them with breeches and underwear, covering. We see that in Exodus 28:42, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. Now, why is that? Because they had no authority. They couldn't exercise. They had to knock. And then you choose to give. If that's not the way your society is going to go the other way. And freedom will be long and far from you. Because you did not offer freedom to your neighbor, you offered force to your neighbor. Ezekiel 44:18, they shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. You shouldn't make beggars of your preachers, but your preachers need to know what their job is, what it curtails, what it's a part of, how it's established. And if you haven't known this before, I understand, because almost no preacher teaches it. But you exercise authority. You kick in the door of your neighbors because you ask your ministers to do that. Being titular, you know, the early church, as I said, was called a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire. The leaders are titular, in name only, and they operate as a society of faith. The ministers must serve, they must take care of their family, but also serve the people as administrators of the affairs of society, the civil affairs of society, helping settle disputes, helping take care of the needy. They have no authority over the people. Yet they have all the obligations of government and the responsibilities to take care of what is given in the name of Christ for his kingdom. Matthew 24:47, verily I say unto you that ye shall make him rule over all his goods. He's telling you in this parable, ruler over all his goods. When you give to your minister, he is in charge. Not his bishop is not in charge of what you give him. He is in charge. Not your group of elders. They're not in charge. They were in charge when it was in their pocket. But now it's in the pocket of the ministers, which is the pocket of Christ, because that minister must belong to Christ. Now, we have it. There were people who aided the ordained ministers, and they too are ministers. And that's what we call a licensed minister, licensed by you to take care of the offerings of Christ for your benefit. And they are appointed by their overseer. because they're not yet ordained, because they may have a personal estate. But those who want to move into that ordination and become a religious order, serving the people, and we need that. This is the plan of Christ. So you have to do it according to His plan, according to His way. Matthew 25:14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. They're not of the world, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So that's what we do. We want to return the responsibility. We don't want a central treasury. And the only way to do this is the elders must become participants in the congregation, because the ministers have no, they're not of the world, but yet they still have need. And you not only have to take care of your ministers and help him take care of his family while he connects you with thousands of people across the country and around the world to actually follow the ways of Christ. You'll need that. Just saw an article today where supposedly, I don't necessarily believe this is true, but, you know, Yellowstone has been making little noises and rumbling, and actually there's swelling in the ground, and gases have been given off, and we see the same thing all over the world in different places, but Yellowstone is a caldera. If Yellowstone erupts like it has in the past, and it seems to do it every so many thousands of years, and it's actually due now, there'll be a lot more activity before it actually blows. But if it were actually below 10 years from now, you couldn't get ready for that explosion in 10 years. You just don't have the time, not to really be ready. But if it blows, large portions of the United States will become uninhabitable and produce no crops, and people will have to move out of its way. Everybody immediately around it for maybe 100 miles could be killed, and maybe even farther, depending on the size of the eruption. These are real things that happen in time and history. But it would create total chaos in the United States. There'd be martial law everywhere. They would have to ask for foreign troops to come into the country to help resolve the problems and the disarray. I also saw an article today where it talks about the National Guard's helicopters are now being turned over to the Army. They're not here for emergencies like earthquakes and floods and stuff like that. Most people don't realize it, but over the last, since George Bush Sr., the United States has been disarming to the tune of billions of dollars a year, because they're using up their ordnance. I mean, you go on some of the storage units that used to be packed with supplies and facilities and all this kind of stuff. They're now empty on many of these military bases. Many of these military bases are closed down, but we have hundreds of military bases all over the world, and that's where the soldiers are. That's very dangerous for the country. That's not safe. That's not good strategy. And the National Guard generals are saying there's nothing we can do. The decision has been made. You're not going to have those facilities anymore. They're going away from you. That's vulnerable. But that's the choice of your ministers, the ministers which you have elected for yourself, the ruling judges which you have chosen for yourself. That's what they've decided, and they have the right to do that. I'm not questioning, I question the wisdom of their judgment, but I'm not questioning their right to do it. Those are who you look to for your conversation, for the administration of your civil affairs, to men who could exercise authority. And now, against the wisdom of your National Guard officers, somebody else has decided to take all that away from you. And there's nothing I can do about it. So anyway, we'll continue this next time on Keys to the Kingdom. Till then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.